to arrive this afternoon into tomorrow.
Blog Talk Radio.
Rainfall occurring overnight. Top military officials will soon talk about the U.S. withdrawal from Afghanistan. The Defense Secretary and Joint Chiefs Chairman will speak at the Pentagon. Remaining U.S. troops completed a massive evacuation effort at the Kabul airport this week, which officially ended the American military mission in Afghanistan after two decades. The father of Florida Congressman Matt Gaetz appears to be the victim of an extortion attempt. Rick Hoschel has more.
Federal prosecutors say Okaloosa County's Stephen Alford has been indicted for trying to defraud Don Gaetz. The 62-year-old Alford allegedly told the elder Gaetz a few months ago that for $25 million he could get his son a presidential pardon. Matt Gaetz's spokesperson says evidence that has yet to be released will show Alford was acting with two people with longstanding links to the federal government.
A new poll is revealing many Americans think the country is on the wrong track. That's what 61% of those surveyed told the Political Morning Consult poll. The numbers are even worse when it comes to Afghanistan, with 61% saying they disapprove of President Biden's job when it comes to the war-torn country. You're listening to the latest on NBC News Radio.
Take a moment and rate your lifestyle on a scale of 1 to 10. 1 is a life that's nothing like the life you were promised after getting good grades, a college degree, and a good job in corporate America. 10 is the life of your dreams. If you answered anything less than a 10, tune into the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Del, self-made millionaire and founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, will show you how to live the life of your dreams and pay for it with passive income.
Tune in every Monday at 8 a.m., Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Fridays at 5 p.m., and Thursdays at noon, right here on KKNW.
And let's go ahead and take a look now at your alternative talk weather outlook for Wednesday. We'll see mostly sunny skies today. High temperatures around 69, 70 degrees. A little bit of wind also out of the north to northwest at 5 to 10 miles per hour. For tonight, mostly clear skies. Low temperatures dropping down to about 51. For Thursday, much of the same. Warm temperatures. Highs around 74. Clear skies again through the overnight. Lows down to about 54. Friday, partly sunny skies. High temperatures around 77.
I want to take a minute and invite you on over to the Love Shack. It's a little old place where we get together, explore fresh perspectives, eavesdrop on juicy conversations, and uncover the mysteries that nobody talks about but absolutely influences our relationships.
And we're Tom and Stacey Bartley. We are the hosts of Love Shack Live, which airs every Thursday at 1 p.m. PST, 1150 KKNW AM.
Yeah, come on over and join us. We look forward to connecting with you soon.
Have something important to say? Want to help improve our world? Need to promote your business uniquely and effectively? KKNW is the answer. Our staff helps broadcasters and podcasters create professional-sounding audio. Bring your talent and let our experts help you craft a radio show or podcast that best delivers your message. Learn more at 1150kknw.com. That's 1150kknw.com. KKNW, talk variety that's live and local. The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat Vasily and Transformation Talk Radio.
Had enough of the been there, done that ideas? Tired of too much talk and so little action? Rewind now and welcome to Transformation and Change Radio with Dr. Kathy Obear, where the vision of true equity, inclusion, courage, and purpose meet powerfully. Dr. Kathy delivers with dynamic, engaging conversation and the most authentically brave dialogue on air today. This hit show will challenge you to explore current issues of diversity, equity, and inclusion and deepen your capacity to choose courage to speak up to greater inclusion in everything you do. Fasten your seatbelt and accelerate your effectiveness to become a powerful change agent in your life, community, job, and society. Imagine true equity and inclusion and get the tools to really manifest your vision. No frills, no fluff, just really powerful, good stuff. Transformation and Change Radio starts now.
Welcome to Transformation and Change Radio. I'm Dr. Kathy Obear. Just delighted you joined us with Dr. Kwame Evans. I'm so excited you joined us. We met month or two at the most ago.
Yes.
And we were talking, hanging out on Zoom, and I'm like, oh my gosh, would you honor me to be here? I love your strategy, your wisdom, your insights, your energy, and you come out of student housing and dining services at UC Davis, where the director of inclusion organizational development, if that's not enough, the student affairs equity inclusion strategist. So we're going to get a chance to talk about four or five different buckets that you have and responsibility with others to help advance as we talk about in these times, how do we transformative, racially, socially just organizations in this time of, in my experience, increasing apathy, if not backlash. So welcome to the show, Dr. Kwame Evans.
Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Kathy O'Bear. It's really great to be here. I'm a big fan of your work, and one of the points of connection is that we're both UMass graduates, affiliates. So that's another really great connection. But I'm really excited to have a conversation with someone like you who takes this work so seriously, and it's so critical during this time. So I'm excited for us to dive in and have some good conversation. So thank you for the invite.
Thank you. Thank you. And especially as so many K-12, higher ed schools gone, quote, back live, mm-hmm. though, you know, mid to late August, some of that's not happening.
Mm-hmm.
So many people, I think, especially white folks, might be taking their eye off the prize and thinking pandemic has nothing to do with racism, social justice, culture, climate change, don't have to worry about that. So, but before we leap in, I'd love to ask folks, just to help us get to know you a bit, and whatever you want to tell us about yourself, how you're doing in these times, and how you're preparing for what's next.
Absolutely. So I'd like to be really honest when I'm having these kind of conversations. That's the only way that I know how to be. And the truth is that I'm okay. I wish I could say that I was fabulous, but that wouldn't be a fully accurate depiction of the truth. So part of the reason why I say that I'm okay is that I am, as you said, I work in higher education, particularly at UC Davis, and we are at a place where we are excited because our university, like several colleges and universities right now, are planning to have our students come back onto campus. And for those of us, especially that work in student affairs and who our whole world is built around students, having them back on campus is very exciting. So I find myself straddled between that excitement and also, too, just the reality and the continued developments that we are receiving about this Delta variant and all the breakthrough cases. And, in fact, there has been a number of breakthrough cases that have happened very close to me and with some of the folks that I love. So it doesn't feel like it's something that's just a conversation out there. It feels like it's a conversation that's, like, right here, right now. And I've been able to see up close and personal some of the impacts of what that Delta variant breakthrough can look like, even if you're vaccinated. And while the vaccination provides a level of protection, I'm under no illusions that it does not mean that we're fully immune. So I'm really trying to temper just the excitement, but also with the sobering reality that we are in a pandemic. And I think we cannot forget about that. And I get a little bit concerned, in all honesty, because sometimes I think we are acting as if we're not. When the truth is that we are. So I get a little bit concerned, you know. Right now I'm just trying to be really mindful about what are some of the ways that angst kind of creeps up in my body, and what I'm realizing is that for me sometimes I find myself getting a little bit more exhausted and harder to get motivated to do work. That's one of the ways in which it outpictures for me. So I'm doing okay. I'm doing okay, but, you know, I consider myself a deeply, profoundly spiritual person, and that always is the place where I go for a level of respite and a place to rejuvenate and to get clear and centered. So I've been having to do that quite a bit over the last couple months.
My guess is most listeners can relate, especially folks who are in one or more marginalized identities, particularly folk of color, indigenous folk, who this pandemic is still disproportionately impacting, though I haven't seen that research talked about mm-hmm. as much, but I believe that to be true.
Yes.
And the deep level of exhaustion, burnout, as so many folks are gearing up. I mean, when I worked at Colorado State and other higher ed places in residence life, I mean, we were probably into our fourth or fifth week of 12, 14-hour days, staff training, student leader training, getting the halls ready.
Absolutely.
And I was a lot younger then, and we weren't in a pandemic, and even then I was exhausted. So 18, 19 months of pandemic, time of racial reckoning, resistance, pushback, rise of a lot of the white supremacy that has always been here but is now manifest and emboldened and mainstream. So all of that impacting our staff, our faculty, our leaders, our students.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But you know what, Cassie? One of the things that it really points to an indication is that we've never been, I think as a society, as a group, as a profession, as Americans, we've never really known how to take care of the soul and spirit of people. Mm-hmm. And I do find that right now, particularly in this pandemic, while there are tremendous efforts that are happening, and when I say pandemic, I'm talking about both the racial pandemic but also our health pandemic that's happening. I think there's a lot of tremendous efforts that are happening and that people are being very intentional about. But the truth is that, Kathy, a lot of them fall short. And even while they provide us a quick, short moment of exhale, some level of information that helps to calm some people, the truth is that that anxiety, it continues to creep right back in. And honestly, I think a lot of it is because we've never really gotten to a place where prioritizing the soul and spirit of people has ever been something that we have made a priority. And as far as I'm concerned, that's a core central work of DEI work. I mean, you could talk about all the theories. You could talk about all of the strategies, and I could talk about that with, you know, with the best of them. However, what I also know is that until you can really start to understand how fragile the spirit is and the soul of people are and make that a priority and make that integrated into everything else that we do, we'll continue to have these conversations. We'll continue to have systems that have limited impact, and we'll continue to have people who are hurt and harming people, and that I think that cycle will continue because we've never really addressed the issues at a very root and core level.
Well, you sure got my attention. Folks' ears are perked. So what are some of the ways you have or know organizations could address that spirit and soul work that is so central and needs to be integrated into everything we do?
Well, I think, you know, if you start to kind of take a really big look, I think the first thing is number one, acknowledging, you know, the inception of America and how we got here. You know, there's been a lot of quotes and sayings that could never be justice on stolen land. And while some of us, you know, talk about that in a very broad manner, the truth is that that is just a very true statement. And I think until we can understand what drove the human spirit, but not only drove the human spirit to participate in such atrocious acts, what continues to drive the human spirit to contribute to such atrocious acts? Because you can talk about you know, genocide with our Native American folks. We can talk about, you know, the social injustice that takes place with African Americans still today. While different acts, the outcome is the same, which is there's a killing of the spirit and the soul that is happening that we just have to address. So I think that we've never kind of, we've never owned truth. We've never owned the facts of what has happened. We've never understood fully, I think, the ramifications of what has happened, and not just to individual populations of people, but humanity, right? So when something happens, if you attempt to kill one person, yeah, you're killing one person, but that has a rippling effect to everyone else who hears anything about that, and we've got to start to recognize that when we do those things, we have to live with the spirit of that as well. And I think that part of that is what we're kind of dealing with now is we have folks who are hurting, who are harmed, people who do not trust, and I think rightfully so, some of our systems. And again, I think a lot of it is that we've never really come to the truth of really honoring our spirits and really being true and authentic with each other. So I think until we can really start to do that, we'll constantly have these conversations, you know, and we can call it all kinds of things. We can call it racism. We can call it sexism. We can call it political divides. We can call it whatever we want to call it. But until we start to really honor that human life as something unique, important, and defined, I think we'll continue to have these conversations, unfortunately.
I'm writing my fourth book on leading white accountability groups and was just writing this week or last about just how I was taught to dehumanize and believe that folk of color, indigenous folks, were not as human and deserving as whites, and whites smarter, better, and more entitled. And it took me decades to even be willing to look at the truth, much less own it and be able to talk about it. You're talking not only at the individual level, but historically, five decades plus ago, how European white ancestors sold their souls,
basically, yep.
sold their humanity for, I know I have, for white privilege, exploitation, to get mine. Mm-hmm. What I find challenging, I'd love your thoughts, is I find individual white folks, we get really defensive when we start trying to talk about the past or how there might be white privilege today. You know, I earned everything I have, much less how I continue to disadvantage others, perpetuate, survive in systems, get ahead in systems that really dehumanize and steal the soul and lifeblood of indigenous folk, folk of color, and especially to bring that down into a residence life, housing.
Mm-hmm. So
your thoughts and insights.
Yeah, you know, it's tough, but I do think that we need to kind of recognize, you know, we even talk about things like, you know, implicit bias, which we know are these systems that we've kind of inherited. But the truth is that the words that we use, the actions that we participate in, they have an energy in and of themselves, you know, and that energy doesn't go anywhere, right? Have you ever walked into a space where you can tell something is off in this space, something is not right, the juju is just not right, right? But also the opposite is also true, Kathy, right? You can tell when you walk in a place that is dripping in love. You can tell, right? You can tell when someone welcomes you, they know who you are, they value you. And even if there is a place of still where they have to kind of create a connection to you, there's an invitation there that, that has a feeling, it has a tone, it has a I think we've never really quite understood that. You know, I think a lot of other cultures, we talk about, especially like a lot of African cultures, a lot of American cultures, we understand the importance and value and power of words and actions, not just in what occurs in the immediate, but the rippling effects that happens in the invisible, right? Mm-hmm. We understand some of that. Sadly enough, a lot of times those things do not have a place in space within our institutions, our structures, and our organizations. I have to tell you, there's a lot of people out there that I love their work. One of them is Krista Tippett. Can I tell you, I love Krista Tippett. So she is a journalist who is, she writes, her podcast is called On Being. And she talks about, she's a theologian, and she talks about politics, but she integrates spirituality into everything that she talks about and does. Every time I listen to her, it's like drinking fresh water, every single time. So I love the fact that when she talks about, even when she talks about like diversity, she has these things, they're called the grounding virtues, and I actually use those at UC Davis as part of the premise for what we talk about when we're talking about the frameworks for talking about DEI. And I'd like to, actually, let me see if I can pull it up really quick, because I'd like to share with you just one or two examples of what that work sounds like, because I think that it is something that we need to all be looking at and incorporating as we start to talk about, you know, some of these things in terms of diversity, equity, and inclusion. So here is one. So she talks about... I think there's six of them. So there's words that matter, hospitality, humility, patience, and generous listening, adventurous civility. So I'll just choose one so you can get a flavor for what she's talking about. So the one around humility, it reads, humility is a companion to curiosity, surprise, and delight. Spiritual humility is not about getting small. It is about encouraging others to be big. It is not about debasing oneself, but about approaching everything and everyone with a readiness to be surprised and delighted. This is the humility of the child. It is the humility of in the spirituality of the scientist and the mystic to be planted in what you know while living expectantly for discoveries yet to come. The wisest people we've interviewed carry a humility that manifests as tenderness and the creative interplay with power. So that's just one of the, do you hear the magic in that? Do you feel the power of the words, but the essence of what she's invoking when we talk about DEI, that's what I want to talk about. So, yeah, we talk about community agreements, and we talk about these different guidelines, and that's all fine. But when you start to talk about a framework that honors humility in the way that I just talked about, you're not only talking about creating a space, but you're also trying to heal past trauma and just even how you're approaching it. That, to me, is critical. That, to me, is really important. And I think it's also something that is not so, dare I say, data research-based. And don't get me wrong, all those things have a place. I would never discount research, and I understand how important it is. I think that when it comes to DEI, oftentimes there's an over-reliance upon that information that takes us away from humanizing how we connect and how we see each other and also how we see ourselves, that I would love for us to consider getting back to, or at least I wouldn't even say getting back to, getting to. So those are the types of things that are rich, really meaningful that I think a lot about, but I also try to integrate them into the work that I do at Stenhousen at UC Davis.
The word way of being is just screaming as I hear you, a different way of being, connecting, relating in humanity. And as you were, I wrote down, I just, everything about that humility, Krista Tippett.
Yes. Listen, when you go and read her or you listen to her, you call me or you send me a message because you're going to be like, Kawami, oh my goodness, she's amazing.
But talk about, I'm sorry, you weren't done.
No, go ahead.
Completely counter to dominant white culture.
Yes.
Perfection, don't show weakness, impersonal, as you said, data, you have to be competent.
Yes.
And so much of the work, I think, in student housing, dining, especially with white folk, but folk of color, indigenous folk, have also been socialized in the same white supremacist culture.
Absolutely.
So how do we heal just the socialization, much less all the racial trauma. The other question that's on me, I want to get back to the spirituality, is as you were talking, just the irony of how religion, Christianity, was weaponized to justify enslavement, genocide,
yep.
quote, manifest destiny, colonization, imperialization, still is.
Yep. Yep.
And we were supposed to be a separate church and state today. How many people on the right wing are talking about having to bring Christianity to school? I mean, they've been doing it for decades.
Yes. Yes.
So my wonder is some of the pushback that you personally are getting as you talk about spirituality, which I am so aligned with, but I was taught you don't talk about politics, religion. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So how are you helping folks that are like, this is no place in student affairs? We shouldn't be talking about this. This is about student success and workplace. So how do you just kind of bring it all that actually we're saying the same thing?
Yeah. So there's a few things. I think the first thing is that I have to start with myself and my own spiritual commitments and responsibilities. And for me, that is a top priority. And that is not something that I choose to leave at the door. So in any space in which I occupy, including my current position, I am very upfront and very honest about my approach, my thinking, and how I'm going to do the work. So spirituality is critical for me. So if they can take that, then they have to kind of take the full package. And I believe that my department, and specifically my leadership, has been really embracing of it. But here's the funny thing about it, Kathy, right? So there's a difference between religion and spirituality, right? And there's a lot of different definitions of spirituality. I specifically like the definition that Brene Brown talks about, and I'll tell you what she says. So she says, spirituality is recognizing and celebrating that we are all inextricably connected to each other by a power greater than ourselves, and that connection to the power and to one another is grounded in love and compassion. So if you can even just embrace that, number one, that definition of spirituality, you know, everybody loves Brene Brown. Our leadership team and my department just did a whole curriculum around it last year. So these are things that we're talking about. I think we're still kind of figuring out what does it look like in practice and also what does it look like for the individual? Because I think that for some of us, spirituality and our religious foundations has been critical to our cultural and our racial foundations and knowledge of self. So I think we have to kind of decide, especially those of us who have decided to assimilate in particular ways, we've had to decide what is it that we're going to bring and what is it that we're going to leave. I have decided I'm not doing that. I'm going to bring my whole self to the space. But what I find, Kathy, is that once you start talking about it, though, let me tell you, who's gonna say, oh, well, we're not connected, or there isn't. Some people might even say that there's not a power that's greater than us. And I'm like, okay, if that's your perspective, that's totally fine. But you can't really argue with the fact that the work that we're doing is about care. It's about humanity. It's about seeing each other. It's about appreciating and valuing each other. That is very a close kin to love and compassion and to, dare I even say, our oneness. It's a very close. So some of us are not really that, we're not at that place where we're ready to say yes around the oneness, but they can do all the tangential things. Yeah, compassion. Yeah, connection. Yeah, community. All those kind of things. And I'm like, okay, I'll take you where you are. That's fine. Although I know where I'm going, you know, I'm down for the love, I'm down for the compassion, I'm down for the oneness, but I'm willing to meet folks where they are. So once you start to kind of have those kinds of conversations, it becomes really hard to refute it. So then the question becomes, where and what is the place that this has within our institution, within our values, within our practice? Would people know that these things are important by judging by what comes out of our mouth? And by judging by the actions that we take and also the policies and practices that we enact, would that be evident, you know? And I have to tell you that once you start to kind of have those conversations, it becomes hard to say, A, that they're not important, or B, to say that they're things that either we don't want as a professional staff or that students want and need. And once you're dwelling in that place, then it opens up the conversation for all kinds of innovative ideas and thoughts. So the other thing that I'll say, and I know that we have to get ready to go to a break, but the other thing that I'll say is that it's also really important for me to be a demonstration of the love. So I ensure that when people encounter me, that there is a certain kind of love, not just from what I say, but vibrationally, that comes from me that they pick up on. And the thing that makes me laugh is most people are like, I don't know what it is about you, Kiwami, but I kind of like you. And I'm like, it's okay. You don't have to know, you know. But if you really want to know, I can name it for you. It's my spirituality. It's my love of God. It's my the way that I see God and humanity included and in you. It's all those things, right? But we don't typically go to those places in those conversations. And that's okay, because I bring what I bring, and I think that it's having an impact. But I know that, you know, in my spiritual community, you know, we have this saying that you're either pushed by pain or you're pulled by a vision. And so for me, I'm always saying, Kiwami, be pulled by the vision. And everybody may not get the vision, they may not understand it, but let that be your driving motive. And I think that that's something that really serves me well. So when I see things like, you know, Krista Tippett, or I see the work of like Parker Palmer, I see the work of Brene Brown, those are like my people. They're the people that resonate in the same orb and vibration that I want to be resonating in, and I want to bring that to the spaces in which I have. All right.
You got me. As we move to break, can you let people know if they want to have further conversation, have you work with the organization, how can they find you?
Sure. So I don't have my own personal website, but I do work at UC Davis, and my personal email, my professional email address there is K as in kite, L as in lion, C as in cat, Evans, E-V-A-N-S, at ucdavis.edu. I love and welcome folks to reach out and have further conversation, especially if you want to talk about how do we bring the love.
Bring the love. When we come back from break, we'll bring more of the love. I want to hear about your vision, and I also want to talk, there's so many things, but one is that what's in it for white folks? Because the way you describe it, white folks are hurting themselves by participating in racist white supremacist organizations. And so Dr. Kiwami Evans, Director of Inclusion Organization Development and Student Affairs Equity Inclusion Strategist, UC Davis. Thank you so much. We will be back.
What kind of excuse do you have in life? What's keeping you from chasing your dreams? Being legally blind has never stopped Emily Perry from pursuing her dreams. As a professional speaker, trainer, and life strategy coach, Emily spent her career working to educate, support, and provide guidance. Tune in to the Human Is My Label podcast on TransformationTalkRadio.com and open your heart to creating, supporting, prioritizing inclusivity, and encouraging the best of humanity and equity.
Are you ready to invest in your best self? Join Sabrina Wright as she shares tools for creating joy and balance in your life every single day. Sabrina is here to help you become your greatest advocate and empower you to make decisions that will help you live your best life. The Live the Good Life Show, connecting your physical and spiritual self. Every second Thursday at 11 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Find Sabrina at the Wright, W-R-I-G-H-T, balance.com.
TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Guess what? You don't need to wait until the new year to set new goals for yourself. Hi, I'm Joan Marlowe, the host of Awareness to Action, and I'm taking this concept to a whole new level. I've developed a program to take your awareness to action in 90 days. Let me introduce you to your day one. Day one can start any day you choose, so why not now? We will use powerful brainstorming, mastermind, visioning, and goal-setting techniques to open your awareness of what you really want in your life and take action with intention to get there. Choose to work with me one-on-one or in a small group. Let's connect, lift each other up, and hold each other accountable. I'm offering a free consult to design your program. Visit my site, peacefulhealing.com, to connect with me, and let's find out when your day one will begin.
Did you know that when we talk about the Earth's ecosystems, the most important ecosystem has been left out? You. We created the ecosystem approach to recapture human potential.
Find us at theecosystemapproach.org.
Join us every Monday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time and 4 p.m. Eastern Time for the Ecosystem Approach Show with Jason and Patricia on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Welcome back. Dr. Kathy Barrett, Transformation Change Radio. So excited to continue the conversation with Dr. Kwame Evans, who works at UC Davis in student housing, dining services, close to my heart. That's what I used to do. The Director of Inclusion and Organizational Development, Student Affairs Equity Inclusion Strategist. I need to breathe. That's a lot.
It is.
Which I find white folks find folk of color, dump on 2-3 jobs, call it one, and then if you don't do everything perfectly, all of a sudden reinforces our racist stereotypes under a microscope, we come after you. I was seeing if you wanted to go. I'll just go then.
Yeah,
towards the end, you talked about your spiritual community. Either you're fueled by pain or pulled by the vision. Did I get that close?
You got it right, yep. Pushed by pain or pulled by vision.
Could you say more about what your vision is that is pulling you, that you just keep your eye on that prize and you hold in everything you do?
Mm-hmm. Sure. So in my role and in my work, I'm really clear about the systems and structures in which I have to operate in. I'm under no illusions about them, and I know that I am not at the top of the food chain where I get to make all the decisions, but I do have some autonomy. And so for me, doing this work around diversity, equity, and inclusion, number one, it is a spiritual mandate. In my mind, the way that I think about it is I think about it as, you know, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And for me, it also is are you able to see the divine in other people?
Mm.
That's something that's really important. So as I continue to do this work, I love a lot of the work that's happening in terms of educating folks around social identity, around looking at our policies and practices to be non-biased, and all the things that we're doing to really elevate and create an inclusive environment that really feels like folks belong. I get that. I understand that, and I'm actively engaged in a lot of those programs.
And I think that there's ways in which we still have a long way to go. So one of the things that, number one, that I have been doing a lot of thinking about is I received some feedback that the work that we're doing is great around DEI, but one of the things is that it gets really heady and it's hard to understand the jargon and people get lost, right? So when I hear that, the thing that I think about is how do we then humanize this work? So how is it that I ensure that my 13-year-old child, as well as the person who is in a director-level position, who has multiple degrees, and quite literally has been doing theoretical frameworks around this stuff for years, can be in the same room having the same conversation, and that conversation can be one that is progressive and one that is exciting, a level of empowerment and inspiration for both parties? That's something that I think about. So the question around how is it that we're humanizing some of this work, I think, is really important. And for me, that's a place that I feel like I can access. That's a place that I can figure out how to create systems and structures so that can be the case. I'll give you an example. This upcoming Thursday, I'll be having a conversation with a unit within our department. And in that unit, we're talking about belonging. And we're talking about belonging from the perspective of, do you know what it's like when you're excluded? You know what that's like. And whether you borrow an example from your childhood or you borrow an example from, you know, your teenage years, or even within the workplace, we all know what that is like, right? That doesn't require a PhD to understand. So for me, the question then becomes, how is it that those types of behaviors, whether they be intentional or unintentional, are still happening within the workplace? And when we get that information, instead of us shutting down, getting offensive, or targeting the person or discrediting what it said, how is it that we can rise to the occasion and say, as a leader in this department, I want to make sure that no one feels like that on my watch? That's a very simple thing to do. So you don't want people to feel left out. How do I make sure that they don't, right? So then you can start to kind of look at all these different ways that can happen. That addresses sexism. That addresses, you know, racism. That addresses, the homophobia. Sometimes it addresses the language, sometimes the joking and the inside conversations that folks are having. If we can start to kind of break down in really simple layman's terms what we're trying to do, that to me would feel like a win. When, like I said, when I could put my 13-year-old in the same meeting and conversation with someone in our department who has a PhD, and they can have a conversation and make sense around what the problem is and how they can start to think about how to make that different, I feel like that's a win. And I think that is very much so within our wheelhouse to do. So that for me is part of the vision of what I want to create. I realize that institutions, we create all these strategic plans, all these books, all these authors. The truth is that a lot of people don't read it. So the question becomes, how is it then that we still, number one, make the information accessible? How is it that we can talk about it with folks in ways that they understand and we understand, and that there can be intergenerational conversation? Mm. But let's face it, we're on a college campus. We got people who have been working there for 34 years, and then we got some who are fresh out of high school. How do we make sure that they can be in the same space having the same conversation so that we can really and truly move the ball? So for me, that feels like a vision. I know that there's a number of companies who are doing that work. At eBay, they're a vice president of diversity and inclusion. He's doing amazing work talking about humanizing DEI work. And that kind of stuff just really, it really empowers me. It really inspires me. So that's part of the vision of what I see. The other thing is that I find that defining what does community look like within a professional setting, because when you're talking about a community, there's unspoken and spoken expectations and rules and obligations that you have to abide by for that to be a healthy dynamic, right? And if it doesn't break the law, oftentimes, you know, we responsive or reactive when it gets to a place that's far along on the continuum where something is egregious or it is. So how do we start to build those systems and structures and accountability when it's just a minor infraction, right? When it's the one-off comment. I'll give you an example. So I have been at UCA for some time. I have a number of different relationships that I have. When I first started the role in which I'm in 2 years ago, someone who I have great respect for, as she reports to, and now I am a couple levels beyond my position when I was there, but also a little bit higher than where they are. When I first got the position, I remember that we were in a space where there were lots of people around, and it was a passive aggressiveness. So they were like, oh, Kwame, congratulations. So glad you're in the role that you're in. And I mind you, we're slowly but surely kind of passing each other. And then they made the comment, and now you make more than me. And then they were like, oh, but well-deserved, but well-deserved. So I was like, wait a minute. So at this point, we've kind of passed each other. It wasn't like a stop and talk about it kind of thing. But that stuck with me, Kathy. That stuck with me for a long time. And it's hurtful. Now, here's the thing. That person respects me, at least respect in their own way. They respect me. They have praised me in public places and, you know, they compliment my work. But that comment came out, you know. And I, the question that I kept thinking to myself, what can accountability look like? Yeah, I can have a conversation with that individual, but they didn't break a policy. Is the accountability just between that person and myself? Is that something that should have a larger display? And not to ridicule the individual, but to kind of put it on display that this is something that happens, and it happens often, and it happens to all of us. And when it does occur, there's not damage, but there's harm for me and for the individual who did it. So the question on what does accountability look like in those kind of situations, I think is something that I really want to think about. Like, how do we create norms and expectations that are humanistic that we can actually achieve around accountability when we're talking about DEI? Because with cancel culture and with, you know, a number of ways in which people completely retreat in these really difficult and challenging situations, that doesn't help. So I want to think about how is it that we keep people at the table, how we continue to do a call in culture, but how we continue to nurture each other so that we can all be better in spaces that we occupy. That's something that I think about.
I'm just breathing you in. And again, so counter white dominant culture of publicly appreciate, praise, behind closed doors, yes, give feedback, don't embarrass, maybe misunderstood. I mean, all the different ways we like folks maintain privilege. And what I relate to as a white person, I think most whites still have this belief, yes, people of color, okay, you can, but don't get ahead of us.
Yes.
We still are deserving.
Yes.
So that,
yes,
her comment of you make more than me goes to the root for me of, okay, let's all move along. But when folks of color have been hired for consulting jobs that I thought I was ready for or should have gotten, notice I should have gotten them. All those racist attitudes of you only got hired because you're black. You're, I mean, so all of that white supremacist belief is in so many of us, but I think we white folks, especially with formal schooling, believe we have to have been beyond that. And so to really sit in humility, honesty, authenticity, to own our racist white supremacist beliefs,
absolutely,
we still trip over and still fuel our racist behavior and sit in the pain we cause.
Yes.
Because you're so gracious, you said the harm done to the person who hears that racist comment and the person that did it. And that's second or third time you've gone there of how are whites hurt? How do we hurt ourselves when we stay silent and collude, when we make racist comments like that colleague of yours, when we turn away from systems that benefit whites and create barriers? How are we hurt, even if we feel individually we're moving because of white privilege?
Right. You know, I'm gonna inject the sports analogy here, and for my partner. He watches sports all the time. But I don't remember who said it, but it was a saying something along the lines of, you never know how great the game can be until everybody can play. And I think the same thing is applicable when it comes to humanity and who we are. You don't know how powerful you can be until you're able to, I think, recognize everybody's humanity. You recognize your own and mine. I had a situation where on our leadership team, I really work with an amazing leadership team. Like every single one of us are different people, but bring such great depth to the work that we do. But this one woman in particular, you know, she talked about how she did not have close relationships with people of color. She knew them from afar. And she talked about how her life has substantially changed by way of her being able to be not just from a distance, but up close and personal. It really pains me sometimes when people are like, oh, yeah, I have a friend of color. But I'm like, are you spending Friday nights with them? If they don't get your prime time slots in your life, don't claim them as a friend. You know, like it's just so. But what she was talking about when she said that, I realized, number one, A, how much I did not know. She said, I'm able to really reflect on my own biases and my own stereotypes in a very real and tangible way. And she said, I also did not know just the depth and the beauty that exists within, you know, black women until I knew you, you know, until I knew you. So up until this point, she'd been on the planet 40 years. Up until this point, she was at a loss and at a deficit and didn't even know it. Didn't even know it, you know. So she is determined that, you know, we're going to get our families together. We're going to get our kids together. Yeah. Don't want them to have a similar experience. But once we do realize, you know, that piece, and Martin Luther King said it, but I think also Brene Brown alluded to it, we're all inextricably connected. There is no, oh, you get to do this and I don't. Because the truth is that what you stifle me from, you are also going to stifle yourself from in another way, in some shape or form, you know? So I think until we start to kind of understand that's a very real thing. It's not just a cute little quote or saying. That's a very real thing. That until we're able to kind of understand that, I think that we're going to be grappling. We're going to be grappling. But I do think that there is significant harm to white folks when everyone is not able to bring their best selves or have their needs met so that they can shine and that they can show up. You know, one of the things that I was thinking about as I was preparing for this is I was thinking about how from the time that I was young, I started to ask questions about people's lives and why it looked different, right? Mm-hmm. So when you're like 8 and 9 and 10 years old, you don't understand why your friend has a pool in the yard, but you have to go back to the building up on the third floor where you all live, and there's no even like, you know, green, there's no space. You understand that that's different. And I started to ask those questions really early on. And once I started to ask some of those questions, my family, the adults in my world who were loving, caring people, but also pretty limited in terms of like formal schooling and education to really be able to kind of put it together, they would just simply say that people are racist, but I didn't really understand what that meant. So it wasn't until I went to UMass, and let me tell you, I love UMass, but it wasn't until I went to UMass and I was taking some of those classes around social justice and Barbara Love, like all these people that were there talking about, and I was like, wait, I'm telling you, Kathy, all the lights in the house went on. Every single one went on. I was like, oh, but the gist of that was that I could explain it to my family and they could no longer feel like it was their fault. That was the gift of it. That was the gift in it, right? I could completely alleviate them and say, here's the systems and structures that are invisible, that are at play, that you can't see, but this is what's contributed to your and our situation. That, to me, is the power of it, right? When I think about us all being able to kind of have a much wider understanding and expanse of understanding our interconnectedness, and that's both with white folks, but that's also with our own people, I think that there's a real freedom awaiting us when we can get there. And I think we're making some strides, but I think we still got a lot of work to do with regards to that. But our interconnectedness, it's very true. It's very, very true. So
I think we like people to do that have to give up the false sense of superiority. How I know I created my self-image around how much I achieved on my own, and to open up my heart and to be willing to be feeling, which means in the incident you told about, the harm that white person did to themselves, which I could tell you 20 stories of similar, because when I have said something racist to a colleague, much less someone I respect, then I feel guilty, ashamed. I have to justify why I did it, or I keep a distance because I have so much guilt, and so I build walls. Mm-hmm. So that sense of liberation that you talk about, that Dr. Barbara Love has talked about for white folk, it's all worth it. And as you asked to come back to this, as you're thinking about going back, we're starting another year, to have the kind of in-depth conversation, community building about racial justice, how do we address this pandemic and how it impacts folks with multiple marginalized identities. We white folks tend to want, as you mentioned, stay intellectual in our head, protected, in charge. Yes. So what is your best hope for white folk? What do we need to do so we can truly partner to create the greatest healthy, healing, trauma-free spaces as we all come back hybrid, in person?
Meet me on the bridge of vulnerability. You got to meet me there. If you're not willing to meet me at that place in the middle, there's no place for us to go. As long as you're armoring up, as long as you got the answers, as long as you're relying upon what the CDC says, which is great, but that's also limited. As long as that's happening, I think it becomes really hard for us to have a real conversation. I think the other thing that's been, I'm not going to say it's beautiful, but I think the other thing that's really interesting about this pandemic is that it doesn't discriminate, right? So we're in very real time recognizing that your vulnerability is also my vulnerability, which is why some folks are really anxious and nervous about coming back to workspaces, right? Completely justifiable, completely understandable. But we also have to honor the humanity in that. Instead of explaining it away or talking about all the protocols that we have in place to mitigate it, because the truth is that we still have to coexist together, and we have to recognize our interconnection during this time in a really special and unique way, so that we can really see each other, you know? And I know I know I've been mentioning Brene Brown a lot, but she also talks about you can't get to the place of real trust, you can't get to the place of real innovation, or even real, I would say, connection, unless you go through vulnerability. You can't get there. Otherwise, it's a facade. It's a surface-based interactional relationship, and we're done with those. We don't want those. We see those from a mile away, and no one wants that, you know? So I say start to meet me at that place in the middle of the bridge with vulnerability. Bring your vulnerabilities to the table. Bring mine together, and from there, I'm certain that we can join, have good conversations, and arise and emerge stronger together.
I love it. And what do you think of this? I find that most white folks aren't very skilled or competent or able to be in emotions, vulnerability, truth, authenticity, racist attitudes, racist behaviors, white supremacy. So I do believe in white accountability space to help and nudge whites to get so we can show up and meet you in the middle of that bridge. I don't know how you're feeling about that and how realistic that is in this moment of time during the pandemic.
Right. I think that white accountability spaces, which is some spaces that we're doing right now at UC Davis, based upon your work, which has been really good, I think it's been really impactful. But a few things. I think number one is that people have to be willing to do the self-reflection that I find that some folks, they're just not there. For whatever reason, they're just not there. So there's that. But I think the other thing is that those spaces are intended to be spaces of healing. And I think that that is a narrative that has to be talked about a little bit more, because when you talk, even, you know, we call ourselves the Critical Whiteness Collective, and people are like, critical whiteness? I don't no, I think I'm good, but I think we have to start to talk about the healing and our own healing so that we can arrive at that place in the middle of the bridge and really start to draw the connection between doing that work first with ourselves to how we can show up with our brothers and sisters who are part of marginalized communities without creating further harm, because that's the goal, right? Without creating further harm. And I think when we start to talk about it in that way, I think it becomes just a little bit more enticing, just a little bit more. So I would love for us to talk about it more in that way. But I think that critical whiteness spaces or just white spaces or accountability spaces are really, really important in this process.
And as folks are listening, again, not that either-or white supremacy culture, Tema Okun, Tanner Jones, it's we can do many things at once.
Absolutely.
Pandemic with an equity inclusion lens, particularly a race lens, class lens, and dismantling racism in us individually, collectively, policies. It's actually all the same transformational work.
Yes.
I might have to see if you're willing to come back, because the whole idea of parallel healing spaces for folk of color, indigenous folk, so deserving and needed to thrive, much less survive, in predominant white spaces.
Absolutely.
In just a minute, do you have a couple quick ideas about that that I'm going to have to...
Well, I think in terms of we've got to do a lot of work in our own individual backyard. I think there's been a lot of work that we've done individually to harm each other that we have to kind of clean up, as well as our own individual work, but also within our community. So we've hurt ourselves, but we also hurt people in our communities, and we got to take some ownership of that, because as I was talking about earlier, the energy of that lives. It lives and it creates a barrier that makes it hard for us to be in sync with each other, but also to for us to connect with people who are different from us. So I think that we have to connect to doing that work, commit to doing that work, and understand that that puts us in a place for just infinite potential for things to unfold, and that's the place where we're going as well. So, but I love that we I think are on our way. I think that even having conversations like this today, Kathy, I think is important and adds to us moving along that path. But I think there's more of us who need to do that. And I think more of us need to be willing to be vulnerable and still say, I'm committed. I'm going to go. I know it's messy. It doesn't look good, but I'm here and I'm going. I'm in pursuit of the love 100%. And I think we need more people who do that and demonstrate it in public places.
So good. You need to get it into performance management and expected competencies. Dr. Kwame Evans, I am so grateful for you being here. As we close, can you let people know how they can find you if they want further conversation or learning with you?
Sure. So I gave my professional email address at klcevans@ucdavis.edu, but I'm also a part of an amazing group called the Fear Slayers. You can find us at fearslayer.us, and you can find out more information about what we do, but we are all about slaying fears in multiple contexts, and it definitely connects a lot to the work that I was talking about here. So.
Drop that in at the last moment. Thank you so much. So honored to get to know you more. Dr. Kathy Urbaire, Transformation Change Radio. We'll be back next month for even more insights. Kwame, thank you so much. All the best.
Thank you. Many blessings.
You've been listening to Dr. Kathy Urbaire on Transformation Talk Radio. Thanks for tuning in, and be sure to catch us next time as Kathy inspires listeners to become agents of change, motivate, innovate, and speak truth to power. Step into the courageous you that will change the world. Connect to life-changing conversations to extend your reach. For more information on Kathy and her work, please visit drkathyobear.com. That's drkathyobear.com.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. Contests are the responsibility of the host of this program and not KKNW. This is Alternative Talk 1150 AM, KKNW Seattle, and KNUC 98.9 HD3 Seattle.
And good Wednesday to you and others. Here for a look at your Alternative Talk AM 1150 traffic update for around the town with an earlier accident around Northeast 32nd Street, and the express toll lanes on 405 southbound has been taken care of. But in the wake of that, it's still heavy in that area. Traffic pushed back about a quarter of a mile back to just a little bit before Northeast 160th Street. 405 northbound out of those S curves is still heavy just past Northeast 30th Street through the I-90 exit. Stay tuned. Coming up next, after the news and weather, it's another hour of the Transformation Talk Radio Network. This time, the Dr. Pat Show, Talk Radio to Thrive By. It's back to school time. So how's that with the parents? More on that after the news and weather to find out. The special guests, Kason and Patricia Rohn.
NBC News Radio, I'm Lisa Taylor.
America's longest war has come to a close.
That's how Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin opened a Pentagon briefing. Austin said the 20-year conflict has taken a deep toll on the U.S. He praised the massive evacuation operation at the Kabul airport and said U.S. troops were tireless, fearless, and selfless. Austin said they handled the evacuation with skill and humanity. House Republicans are calling for hearings into the U.S. withdrawal from Afghanistan. Florida Congressman Brian Mast, who lost both legs in Afghanistan, calls this a disaster waiting to happen.
It is so much more likely that Afghanistan is now a launching point for the Taliban, for Al-Qaeda, for ISIS, for ISIS-K, for any radical Islamic jihadist terrorists. And now they're well more equipped than they've ever been at any other time.
Biden officially marked the end of the 20-year war Tuesday. Dozens of retired generals and admirals have called on the defense secretary and the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff to step down, accusing them of negligence. A grand jury in Colorado is bringing charges against the Aurora police officers and paramedics involved in the death of Elijah McClain. Speaking to reporters, Colorado Attorney General Phil Weiser said he'll be filing the indictment today.
Late last Thursday, after careful and thoughtful deliberation, the grand jury returned a 32-count indictment.
Weiser said they needed time to notify McClain's family. The five defendants are facing charges of manslaughter and criminally negligent homicide, among others. The black man was 23 years old when he was killed on August 30, 2019, during an arrest after paramedics administered ketamine. The drug is used primarily for anesthesia. Critical infrastructure is still the focus as crews work to restore power to Louisiana's largest city. Entergy New Orleans says crews want the lights on first at hospitals, pumps, and nursing homes before focusing on businesses and homes. The city's been dark since Sunday when Hurricane Ida made landfall in Louisiana as a Category 4 storm. I'm Lisa Taylor.
This Labor Day, put an end to junk sleep. Right now at Mattress Firm, save up to $500 on our top-rated brands when you get a king bed for the price of a queen or a queen for a twin. Plus, get a free adjustable base when you spend $699 on Sealy. Or shop Tempur-Pedic and save up to $700 on adjustable mattress sets. With our highly trained sleep experts and our low-price guarantee, you can rest assured you'll get the best bed at the best price. Unjunk your sleep. Only at Mattress Firm. Offer valid for qualifying purchase. Restrictions apply. Out of participating locations only. For offer details, visit mattressfirm.com/sale.
Liberty Mutual Insurance Company presents Doug.
And we're back with Limu, Emu, and Doug for the final question. Category is things you climb. All right, Limu, what do you think? You sure? We're going with Liberty Mutual customizes your car insurance so you only pay for what you need. Oh, so close. We were looking for stairs. Huh. Only pay for what you need.
Liberty, 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 liberty.
The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat McPhilly and Transformation Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome. This is Dr. John DeMartini. This is one of the most amazing and inspiring shows that you can listen into. If you want to be on the edge of your seat, if you want to open up your heart, if you want to expand your mind, and you want to meet incredible people, stay tuned because you're just about to experience a transformative radio show that will change your life. And you're listening to the Dr. Pat Show is coming up right next.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. Talk radio to thrive by. Powerful, inspiring, and coming to you live, bringing you stories of people like you and me, busting through and living life full out. Get ready to dare to wonder what your life would be like if you knew you could not fail.
Hi, everyone. Today, we're filling in for Dr. Pat, and we're going to show you a stress relief game for back to school. If you have young children or teenagers, or if you're grandparents or a caretaker, or parents, this show is for you. By the way, it's a fun game that you can use for what? Yourself as well.
Yeah, yourself first.
Yes, yourself first, yes. Take care of you first. We are Married Intuitives with over 20 years experience who created the ecosystem approach for you. This is much different because we see human beings as ecosystems that need to be restored instead of programmed. We show you how to take an energy approach for internal discovery that is rational, practical, and useful for everyday life. And by the way, I'm Patricia, and this is Jason. So, okay, Jason, we know this year, going back to school, is really stressful for kids and parents as well. Most traditional advice is not practical, and if it works, it only works for a short time. Jason, can you explain how the clearing game can help our listeners right now?
Well, it's based on a major misconception about stress. You know, it reminds me of the old Groucho Marx joke.
Uh-huh.
Where he goes to the doctor, doctor, it hurts when I go like this.
Yes.
And the doctor says, don't go like this.
Exactly.
Shouldn't you not be able to do that? But anyways, this Groucho Marx, it just shows up. Well, most people talk about stress and saying, well, okay, just don't do whatever makes you stress. But for most of us, the things that make us stress are things we have to do.
Or things that, as some would say, are out of our control to control.
Yes.
You know, and that makes
a difference. Driving to work in traffic.
Exactly. And the other thing is this past year, almost 2 years now, things have been very, very stressful, even though most of us have been at home. So now things are starting to open up. And now our children or grandchildren, they're going back to school. So, in fact, Benny, the producer today, he told us that his kids went back to school today for the first time.
Yes.
So, wait.
So, Benny, this is for you.
This one's right, exactly. Well, just to reiterate, so they had gone last year for half of the day, like, or for half of the school year for just 2 hours in the morning, and then it was afternoon things at home. This is the first, everyone's back for the full day from, you know, start to finish.
Okay.
And,
yeah. Oh, wow. Okay. So it's completely different.
Yeah.
Life is totally different.
Mm-hmm.
And even if you don't have kids, by the way, the clearing game is going to be a great one for you, a stress relief game. But the bottom line is that because everything is different, when we do things that are different, it creates stress.
Well, and if your kid comes to you and says, mommy or daddy, I'm too stressed to go to school, you know,
Here's the game.
This instead. So.
Yes. In other words, don't buy that one. Use the game we're going to teach you. Okay? It's very simple.
But it's based on this false belief that if you just avoid what you're stressed, that it'll go away.
Right.
And we know, as intuitives, we know that stress is an energy.
Yeah.
And it doesn't go away by talking yourself out of it.
Yeah.
Avoiding the things that stresses you out.
Right.
Because it's an emotional response.
Right.
It's an energy response
mm-hmm.
that comes from within you. We see it as negative energy attached to your essence that needs to be cleared.
Okay.
And what do we do with the ecosystem approach?
We do clearing. We get rid of those things, those negative energies.
Yeah. So.
And today we're going to start with the stress thing.
Yes. So, and one other thing, you know, I see the calming advertisements.
Oh, the commercials.
Yeah,
yes, I've seen
them. Just take 15 minutes of calm, which, you know, I always do it with them. You know, I'll say, okay. But the truth is, it doesn't get rid of the energy. And we know
that
stress energy, anxiety is an energy, and you have to clear it away.
Right.
You can't just calm yourself for a minute, because the minute the commercial stops, I'm screwed all the time.
Well, and I want to say the rain on the commercial and that sort of thing doesn't relieve the stress for me at all. It means I have to stop what I'm doing and go use the bathroom. So, you know, that water-going thing.
Which is one of our points, which is everybody has their own type of reaction to certain things and how they stress.
Exactly.
So, so you have a story about one of your clients who used this chronic clearing game for a long, long time. How long has it been?
Well, actually, I added it up, and I believe it's been over 15 years because this this person, he is now, well, he's well into at least 18, maybe even older, and he, I met him for the first time, I believe, when he was 3. So, like I said, it's been like 15 years.
And we've been working with his mom.
And so. I had been working with his mom, and it was great. Well, I still work with her, actually. And I work with him as well. But we were working, and he pointed at this picture, and he said, "What's that?" And by the way, I'm going to show you this picture right now. This picture is this. This is the picture of the processor. We're going to talk about this today. But what happened was he wanted to know what that was and what it all meant. Very, very curious child, very intelligent.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. So I pulled it down off of my wall, and I folded it up, and I said, "Here, this is for you." And to this day, he still has that exact piece of paper that I gave him with the picture of the processor on it, and he uses it. Now, I admit sometimes this mother will say, "Go talk to the wall," but the bottom line is
that,
he still uses it. And he told me less than a year ago, he said, "You know, Patricia, that has saved me so many times when I had just wanted to put my fist through a wall or felt like I was just completely out of control with things that were stressing me out."
Well, and here's my pet peeve, okay?
Okay.
And I've been guilty of this, so I'm raising my hand.
Okay.
But using platitudes
with
kids, they come to you with a problem or they
"Oh, it's going to be okay."
Yes, exactly. Yes. Or "Don't worry." Oh, that's the best one.
Don't worry.
Well, this is something you can actually do.
Yeah.
It is, instead of giving your kid, "I'm worried about this," or "so-and-so is giving me a hard time." Well, how do you feel about that? Well, let's put that in the processor.
Right.
You know.
Right. And it works, by the way.
You know, maybe he's afraid of being this kid that's a bully or whatever.
Yeah.
Put that fear in the processor.
Mm-hmm.
That's doing something really functional for a kid. It gives you credibility
mm-hmm.
as a parent.
Yeah.
Because instead of just platitudes.
Right.
Oh my gosh, and you know, I've heard so many platitudes, and I know that it's the main thing that I yell at the TV for, you know.
Oh yeah.
Someone saying, "Well, oh, don't worry about it, it's gonna be okay."
Right.
"It'll always work out," or, you know, "Time heals all wounds," blah blah blah. "Shoot me and
I just now remember this. I happen to be working with two sisters that were, I believe, 7 and 9 at the time. They're definitely older now. And their mother sent them to me and said, "Please help my kids, you know, with they just hate each other." And so we had done some clearing. We used the processor. We put that negative energy in there. And I said to them both later on, you know, after we had done this, practiced the game, in other words, did the game, I said, "How are you two feeling about each other?" And the older one turned around and said, "Well, I don't hate her as much." And I said, "Well, then it's working." And by the way, they actually get along very well now, and they both still use the clearing game.
It's really neat. And we're going to talk to you about the clearing game in the next segment and give you all the specifics and what to do.
So, but you have a story about the platitudes, Jason.
Well, it's just it's a brief one, but it's
very really relevant.
Yes, because this is way before I was doing this work, and I didn't have this tool.
Yeah.
But my daughter's mother, my wife at the time, died of cancer, and my daughter was 7 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember it was a kind of a unique situation, but we were thrown into this community where we didn't know a lot of people, but it was a very Christian community, and they were telling her a lot of platitudes. "Oh, your mother's with Jesus. Oh, it'll be okay, you know.
She's in a better place. And that's the one that flipped your daughter out.
It made her angry, you know. It made her angry.
Yeah,
and
rightfully so, by the way.
It just, she was hurting, and and her mother left her to go be with some...
Somebody that she didn't know?
Exactly.
Why would she do that? That sort of thing.
So platitudes can be not only not work, but they can be very harmful too.
Exactly.
If I had this then, I would have said, okay, how do you feel? Let's just put that in the process. Let's do something, you know.
Exactly. So way to go on that one. So, Jason, what are the key points of this segment?
Back-to-school stress for parents and children is an energy that can be cleared.
Yes.
Stress comes from your emotional story that is unique to you and can be cleared. No platitude.
Right.
Calming yourself is only temporary because it does not remove the negative energy.
Mm-hmm.
And the ecosystem coach teaches you to clear stress and relate it to your unique emotional story.
Exactly. In the next segment, we're going to tell you specifically how to get set up and play the clearing game and some tips about how to work with your kids. This is the Ecosystem Approach Show with Jason and Patricia. And by the way, we're sitting in for Dr. Pat today. And thanks for that opportunity, Dr. Pat. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
The new year to set new goals for yourself. Hi, I'm Joan Marlowe, the host of Awareness to Action, and I'm taking this concept to a whole new level. I've developed a program to take your awareness to action in 90 days. Let me introduce you to your day one. Day one can start any day you choose, so why not now? We'll use powerful brainstorming, mastermind, visioning, and goal-setting techniques to open your awareness of what you really want in your life and take action with intention to get there. Choose to work with me one-on-one or in a small group. Let's connect, lift each other up, and hold each other accountable. I'm offering a free consult to design your program. Visit my site, peacefulhealing.com, to connect with me, and let's find out when your day one will begin.
Did you know that when we talk about the Earth's ecosystems, the most important ecosystem has been left out? You. We created the Ecosystem Approach to recapture human potential.
Find us at theecosystemapproach.org.
Join us every Monday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time and 4 p.m. Eastern Time for the Ecosystem Approach Show with Jason and Patricia on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
I'm Carrie Nail from Nailed It Radio. Understanding our personality preferences can be huge in conquering miscommunication with others. For example, people who prefer extroverted energy tend to speak as they think and want to communicate by talking. However, people who prefer introverted energy tend to think quietly about their response before speaking and prefer to communicate by writing. And so a great strategy for both energy preferences is when extroverts want to brainstorm out loud, they should give introverts information ahead of time to think and prepare quietly before sharing out loud. And introverts should plan for quiet time before and after being with extroverts. And let extroverts know that he or she needs time to think before giving an answer. I specialize in helping people understand these differences so you can take them into every aspect of your life to thrive. For more information, you can visit my website, KerriNail.com. That's KerriNail.com.
Life can be demanding, but sometimes our wheels are spinning and we're too focused on making them turn to notice we're stuck in the mud. Tune into The Pause with me, Ellen Wyoming Deloy, every second and fourth Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio. Learn how to stop, reflect, and start moving forward with intention. And if you're really looking to jumpstart your personal development, schedule a free coaching consultation with me at ellenwyomingdeloy.com.
Are you ready to experience full body system wellness? Tune in to the Empower Me Show with Pam Bright, a spiritual toolbox for your life. Embrace the fullness of who you are as a spiritual being, having a human experience. Pam Bright is a multidimensional healer, light language channel, energy intuitive, and spiritual transformation coach. Join her for a rich conversation about how to unlock all your spiritual gifts. Mondays at 3 p.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio.
I like your music there, Benny. That was really, really good.
Thank you.
This is the Ecosystem Approach Show with Jason, and I'm Patricia. Today, we're standing in for Dr. Pat. Thank you for that opportunity, Dr. Pat. In this segment, we're going to tell you specifically how to get set up and play the clearing game or the stress clearing game. And we're also going to give you some tips about how to work with your kids and maybe even help you. We are married intuitives with over 20 years experience who created the ecosystem approach for you. This is much different because we see human beings as ecosystems that need to be restored instead of programmed. We show you how to take an energy approach for internal discovery that is rational, practical, and useful for everyday life. In fact, right now we're going to give you a useful tip about what you can do with everyday life. So, Jason, why don't you tell everybody what the email address, but whatever our address is, so they can go and get what we're talking about.
So if you want to, we're going to show you how to do this. Mm-hmm. If you go to our website right now, theecosystemapproach.org, and sign up for our free section, you can have access to this. It's just a PDF, and you print it out.
Okay, and it looks like this. Well, ours looks like this. Ours looks like this at the moment, and there's actually two printed there.
And we print it out on cardstock.
So that you can actually stand it up and put it on a table and or on a dresser, or, as I said in the previous segment, you could put it up on, pin it up on the wall.
Okay, but
and it has everything on it that you need.
We're ahead of ourselves, though.
Oh, excuse me. My apologies.
Because what's important here is that if you understand that emotions are energies,
yes,
this is something functional. This is something practical that you can do with those instead of saying, oh, don't worry about it, or, oh, it's going to get better tomorrow, or just ignore it.
Or how about this one? This was my parents' favorite. I don't know, figure it out. Oh, okay. That was the way my parents handled it.
You know, and so when what happens is that if you explain the what we call the clearing game, I wouldn't call it the stress relief game to kids, but because that doesn't sound as good, but the clearing game, and basically it's a one-minute game. It's less than a minute.
Yeah.
It's not something to say, oh, You don't have to make it a big deal like we have to sit down and we're going to do clearing for 30 minutes. Oh, don't do that. Just make it fun. We're just going to do it for a minute.
Right.
So if your kid comes to you and says, oh, I'm struggling, to kick the soccer ball the way I want to.
Right.
So, okay, well, how do you feel about that? Oh, it frustrates me. Okay, let's put that frustration into the processor.
Right.
Let's use that. Or I feel stupid when I miss the shot, when I kick the ball and it doesn't go where I'm supposed to. Well, clear feeling stupid.
Yeah.
And if you don't know you can't name the feeling, just take the expression that they use. I feel really stupid when I kick the ball. Okay. Let's put that I feel really stupid when I kick the ball and put it right in the processor.
Well, and one of the things that you and I haven't talked about, but I've worked with more than a few children. And one of the things that I found, especially starting with about the five-year-olds, right around there, is that I would take the picture of the processor, and what I would do is I would put it like on the floor, and I would have them do what's that called? A hook shot. Or
dribble it in.
I've had them make fun and laugh at not only themselves, but laugh at me doing the same thing. And we have had so much fun that when they walk out of the session, they say, Mom, how soon can I come back? We had fun.
So, you know, and once they get in the habit of taking their negative emotions and putting someplace,
they do it all the time.
Yes. For a kid, it's kind of natural. And that's why we call what we do the ecosystem approach, because it's an ecosystem approach to human beings. As opposed to a mechanical approach, you're treating them like machines.
Exactly.
You treat your kids like a machine, things are going to be a problem.
Yes, exactly. And it's really, really, really interesting one of the things that we're going to clear for today, and definitely in the last segment, is we're going to clear for your creativity, you as parents or you as caregivers, to figure out what works for your children when you're doing this game with them.
Okay, so let's get to the specifics.
Okay.
Now we're ready.
So
if you sign up for our free section,
there you go.
You go to our website, theecosystemapproach.org.
Right.
And go to the tab that says free section.
Mm-hmm.
To the drop-down menu, you see the processor. This is the processor.
And one more time, this is the processor.
And what will happen is you can download it as a PDF,
mm-hmm.
and then you can cut across this very faint line.
Well, and that's
and
exactly.
You get two of them.
And that's exactly what I'm going to do. And so I'm going to cut it across, and then I'm going to fold it. And you can... Excuse me, it looks like this, and I'm going to fold it and so that you can see the clearing statement is printed on one side, or I should unfold it. The clearing statement is printed on one side, and, of course, then our phone number, our contact us, the ecosystem approach, is right there. So you're going to fold it back, and then you're going to fold the other one back so that it can sit on a table very nicely. Like this.
And you can see
everything.
The processor.
And you can see it. And this is where, like I said, that I've done with kids, I've put it on the floor, I've put it on a chair so that we can do jump shots and hook shots and even kick it in.
For a soccer player?
For a soccer player.
Lay it on tight.
Exactly.
And now, if you had a kid like mine when she was 5, 6, and 7, she would have asked, what does a processor do, Daddy?
Very good. Let's talk about that for just a moment.
So what happens is that the negative energy or, the thing you're struggling with, I don't want to go to school.
Yes.
You put that, I don't want to go to school, where the top arrow is, and it just goes into the processor.
Uh-huh.
It gets processed. Now, if I was with a five-year-old, I'd use a noise. I'd it would process it.
Okay, I'm glad I'm not a five-year-old.
It probably wouldn't work with a teenager.
No, exactly.
So I irritated my daughter all the way through her teenage years.
He still irritates her, but that's okay.
So
she loves him.
So those kind of noise probably wouldn't work, but just that's part of having fun with it. And then it comes out the front. There's a front little... you can see it here.
There you go.
The front little spout.
Mm-hmm.
And so the process, so it comes out neutral. So it comes out that heavy negative stuff goes on the top.
Right.
And it processes it, and then it comes out neutral. And it works. We've been doing this for 20 years. It works.
We have seen great successes, definitely, all areas.
In some energetic realms, people say, you have to believe. This works whether you believe it or not. You just go through the emotions, and it works. This works.
Exactly. And the other thing is that your intention is what matters here. That's the biggest thing of all, your intention.
Here's some tips.
Okay.
First of all, make it fun.
Yeah.
Do whatever you can. Make it fun.
Yes.
Talk to your child when you're doing this.
Yes.
But it doesn't have to be a long-term conversation, 15 seconds at 30 seconds. We're not talking about war and peace here.
Right.
Start with yourself.
Yeah.
So start clearing yourself first.
Exactly.
If you're stressed about your kids going back to school, if you're worried that something's going to happen,
put that energy right in there. That's exactly where it needs to go.
Start with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Make it a ritual. Maybe it's a fun game to do before dinner or after dinner.
Or how about a fun thing to do while you're having breakfast?
Or before you do your homework.
Exactly.
Get all those homework. I don't want to do my homework. This is boring.
Yes. I hate this. I hate my teacher.
Put that in the processor.
Well, and you can take the energy of hate
and put it in the process.
Exactly.
Yeah, right in the top here. And you will be so amazed at the difference. And by the way, when your kids are less stressed, guess what? You're less stressed. And it's really, really, really awesome.
So so if your kids are resistant,
yeah,
clear the resistance. Do it on your own. So if they're resistant, you clear their resistance,
right.
Okay?
And you can do
clear
that.
Clear yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Try another time.
Right.
Don't ever force it. Please don't bully your kids into doing this stuff because it won't work.
Well, and
bribing is okay.
I knew you.
Food, sugar, you know, we never.
Well, we don't really promote that, but if that's what works right now, go for it.
Young kids, you know, the best time starts when they're young. But if you,
absolutely,
you know,
that's what we found.
You still start as a teenager.
Yes, yes.
Make
yes.
it fun.
Yeah.
Reinforce it often.
Right.
Don't just do it now and then do it 3 weeks later. Do it every single day.
Right.
And then do it with them.
Well, and one of the things, and I'm just going to put this, one of the things that you can put in here is clearing the blocks, and we're going to do it in the next or the segment after this at the end, clearing the blocks to communication with you and your child, you and your teenager, you and your college student, and wait a minute, let me just say it really clearly. You and your spouse or partner, you would not believe the difference in the way the energy will change. It's phenomenal.
You know,
and everybody wins here, by the way.
People have said this, but people notice that we like each other.
Oh, we do.
You know, I know that's kind of rare for married couples.
Yes, for as long as we've been together.
But that's because we clear.
All the
time. You know, we do this.
Yes.
We don't have this. We have our... have it in our imagination. It's drilled in there. It's, you know, but we clear this stuff all the time. So,
exactly.
So for teenagers, make it fun, clear the resistance over and over again. It might take a while. Be persistent.
Never force it.
And do it for them if they refuse. So if your teenager is going into the room and
they're angry
and depressed, clear angry and depression. Clear the resistance to doing this.
Right.
Clear the resistance to doing the clearing game. So.
Okay. So, Jason, one of the key points of this segment, we were having way too much fun.
We were, yes.
Yes, it was good.
Kids love the clearing game if it's introduced at a young age.
But it doesn't have to be introduced at a young age. We'll say it that way.
It helps children identify their emotions and gives them a way to handle their negative emotions. Never push teenagers to do the clearing game. Clear their resistance instead and be patient.
Mm-hmm.
And the ecosystem approach teaches you to create an energy approach to your life for you and your children.
Okay. In the next segment, we're going to share some back-to-school decision-making approaches that will be helpful for you as a parent, caretaker, and or grandparent. This is the Ecosystem Approach Show with Jason and Patricia. We're sitting in for Dr. Pat today, and you're listening to you're listening to Transformation Talk Radio. We'll be back in a minute. Ready to put down that drink or drug for good? Are you struggling to maintain your recovery from addictive behaviors? Do you need help with a family member or loved one who's in early recovery or battling addiction? Get the help and guidance you need by arranging a recovery recharge phone session with me, Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx, certified life and recovery coach. Call 1-800-889-1757. Make an appointment today or go to my website, pushybroadfromthebronx.com, and click on the link that says Recovery Recharged. Don't wait. Get the help you need today. This is Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx, on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Everybody, it's me, psychic medium Jamie, and me, spirit walker Nicole. We are so excited to introduce you to our new live call-in show called Shades of Spirit on TransformationTalkRadio.com. As we connect you with your crossed-over loved ones, angels, and guides, and also help you develop your own psychic and healing abilities. For more information and to book your own private experience, go to ShadesOfSpirit.com and also follow us on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
We figured by the time we turned 50, we kind of had life figured out. But we were not prepared for the realities of midlife. Tune into And That's When I Realized, the truth and comedy of midlife, with me, Susan Dolce.
And me, Leon Dyer. Every second and fourth Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. You're not alone in these challenges. And sometimes you just gotta laugh.
Find us at SusanDolce.com
and LeonDyer.com.
Want to ignite your best life full of joy, passion, and purpose? Then join me, Stephanie James, for The Spark, Wednesday night, 6 o'clock Pacific Time, 9 o'clock Eastern, on TransformationTalkRadio.com, and learn how together we can illuminate the world. Learn more on StephanieJames.world. The best is yet to come.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack, and I'm excited to tell you about the latest technology. It is new to this country, and it's just amazing. Out of Germany. The Healy is state-of-the-art technology for improving and changing the body vibration. I have more information about the Healy on my website, MaryJaneMack.com, or you can call the office at 888-777-4232.
Remember back in high school when you couldn't wait for the very first day.
I love the song. I don't know who sang that. Who is that? That would be the Silvers. I like that.
Old school
like
that band. Old school band.
Yes. I love it. So,
if you were a wallflower and you had problems asking a girl to dance at the prom, and oh, by the way, if your teenager is resistant to doing this and they're trying to do something with a girl or a guy, this is clearing it the way to help them.
Oh, very good, Jason.
And make it happen.
Exactly. So this is the Ecosystem Approach Show with Jason, and I'm Patricia. And in this segment, we're going to share some back-to-school decision-making approaches. By the way, Jason just gave you one that will be helpful for you as a parent, caretaker, and or grandparent. We are sitting in for Dr. Pat today. Thank you again, Dr. Pat, for this opportunity. We are married intuitives with over 20 years' experience who created the ecosystem approach for you. This is much different because we see human beings as ecosystems that need to be restored instead of programmed. We show you how to take an energy approach for internal discovery that is rational, practical, and useful for everyday life. Okay, Jason, people are mad and lashing out. I'm talking about today. I heard about a school board, I heard about school board members quitting because the issues had become so contentious. And so what do we do when we have to make a decision or we're being forced to do something that we don't want to do? What do we do with that, Jason?
Well, the idea is that going back to school this year because of COVID, because of the Delta variant, is a much different is much different than in previous years when before COVID.
Right.
You know, so you have these, you know, do I send my kid? Do I hold them back? Do I send them with a mask? Is everybody going to be wearing masks? You know, are they going to be bullied because of the mask? Is there going to be, you know,
right,
all this stuff? And people are really hot about it. So we want to help parents with that first.
Okay.
And then we've got some more information about the COVID virus, and we looked at it intuitively, and we're going to share some what we saw about
yeah.
that. I think you'll find it very interesting. There's something really valuable to looking at a virus intuitively mm-hmm. because it has an energy or an emotion, and I think that's very interesting from my perspective.
Okay, so do I, Ashley.
So, first of all, intense emotions create a fertile ground for a COVID infection and the Delta variant.
Okay.
But also, if you've got these intense emotions about your kid going back to school, whether it's for or against vaccination, a mask, whatever it is.
Separation.
Yes.
Okay.
You know, how are they going to be safe in school? Are they going to impose these
right.
rules or not?
Right.
You know, all those things. the intensity of your emotions should tell you something, and that you can't be objective when they're that intense. So
right, and so put it in here.
Put that anger in there.
Download this and use it. It is amazing. It is a great visual to help you be better.
Remember, theecosystemapproach.org and sign up for a free section. The thing is that for objectivity, keep clearing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, chances are if you have these strong emotions, there's a high likelihood that you've been manipulated in some way. That some of the sources that you're getting your information from is getting you all charged up. And that may be a problem in itself.
I would call that negative energy, just looking to... and manipulate and con and lie.
We talked about this two shows ago, so just take a look. But two shows ago, we were talking about how dark energy is always on both sides.
Whatever
our position is about COVID or mask or shots or whatever,
right.
You know, chances are good that that dark energy is on both sides and is wanting people to fight.
It's
working because people are fighting.
And by the way, it's time to stop fighting. It's time to, and I'm not saying lay down your beliefs. I'm saying stop fighting and using your beliefs as weapons.
So my suggestion is that if you have a strong belief and you're trying to advocate for a particular position, go do some research on the other side. Go research the opposite position.
Yes.
And get some information and see what happens. And if you're resistant to doing that, clear
it.
Okay.
Yes.
So
yes.
It's a really stressful time for parents these days with COVID-19.
Truly.
I can't imagine. You know, we just had our first grandchild. We have grandkids, and it's very difficult for the parents. You know, this is something though. Don't let it create. If you're a grandparent, don't let it create a barrier between your kids. It's your kid's decision on how they're going to raise their kid.
It is.
And you can, depending on your relationship, you can have input, but that's what it should be at the most. So keep clearing. Clear veils and illusions so you can see and perceive the intense emotions.
Right.
Intense emotions are an indication of a manipulation, so just consider that.
Yes, yes.
So we went this morning, we're going really fast here, but we went and looked at the Delta variant. Now, we have a whole series on the coronavirus and what to do. If you go to our website again, it's all free. It's all there.
Yeah.
And if you get, it's to help you from getting the clearing the energy so you don't, you're not as contagious
or right.
to receptive to get the
to receive
coronavirus.
It. Yeah.
And if you do get it, what to do energetically after you do get it so that you minimize the effects.
And it really works. We never got the virus, but we've had clients that have had it. And one of their very first phone calls was to us. And I have to tell you, it works. The clearings that are on the website, they work because this is this COVID and even the Delta variant, we'll talk about that in just a minute, it's really strong, strong negative energy. I know that everybody's like so tired of hearing about COVID. You're right. So are we. But the bottom line is it's right in front of us, and it's up to us to take care of ourselves. And how we do that is we use the clearing, and then, of course, we follow a few guidelines to make sure that we are as safe as we can be.
The source of the COVID virus is an energy, and we see that energy is really dark.
And it's mean, and it's vicious, and it really wants to hurt.
Wants to hurt as many people as possible.
Exactly.
When we looked at the Delta variant, we saw that meanness.
Oh.
The meanness is so much worse with the Delta variant than it is with the regular COVID
vaccine. Exactly.
We saw the difference in it, that it's more angry. It's
The word is vicious that
vicious,
I would use.
Mean. It wants to take out as many people as possible.
It does.
Does that mean you should be afraid of it? No. Clear that anger that you have within you that may attract that meanness.
Yes.
You know?
Well, and also clear the fear of getting it, meaning that when you have this fear, it opens you up. So clear it, but also take steps to make yourself, to protect yourself and your family from all of this, as opposed to ignoring what the science is saying. It clear the blocks so you can see that the science is telling you the truth.
Well, in this particular case, I mean, we've done shows about how we question science and some of their conclusions all the time.
Of course we do.
I have personal experience with that, and we both do. So it's, unfortunately, it's not that clear cut, mm-hmm. but the problem is that I don't know of a better alternative. We should say that we both are vaccinated, and
we are.
We made that choice, and we know that if there's any side effects to the vaccine that come up in the future, we're going to clear them.
Absolutely.
You know, so
absolutely.
we're going to take care of ourselves.
Yes.
So let's do the key points, and then.
Okay. So and then we're going to teach everyone how to clear. Correct.
Exactly.
So Jason, what are the key points of this segment?
For back to school decisions, always clear your intense emotions first.
Mm-hmm.
Continue to clear even in a difficult school situation. Objectivity comes after you cumulatively clear.
Nice.
The real enemy for you and your child is negative energy.
Keep clearing. Yes.
And the ecosystem approach teaches you to take an energy approach to life by clearing your negative emotions for the best outcome.
I love it. So Jason's going to teach you how to clear for those of you who don't know or you heard about it for the first time today.
About it, and let's just use this again for an example. And
here, I'll hold it up and you talk.
Okay, well, so you can sit, stand, lay down. This will be really great for your kids. They can bicycle ride and do clearing.
Yes.
They can put it on their handlebars. You don't have to have this image. You can do it with your imagination.
Mm-hmm.
But so we have these, the words are right here, the clearing statement.
It's right here.
Right. I direct all my resources and all dimensions to eliminate. And when we say to eliminate, gather up the emotions, whether it's emotions, barriers, veils, and illusions.
Feelings.
Put them into the
processor. Put them on the top, in the processor, right there.
Blow them out with a gentle breath. It doesn't have to be a strong breath. A big breath doesn't do more clearing than a gentle breath.
Exactly. In fact, sometimes, you know, too much is hyperventilating. But then after we do all that, and we're going to do that more in the next segment, then we're going to activate life force energy. Life force energy is the most powerful energy that any of us has access to, and we're going to call upon it. We're going to have it come in to the top of our head, go all the way to the tips of our toes. We're going to have it stop right there. We're going to turn it around. We're going to use the power of that energy to remove more negative energy. And by the way, this is the most amazing thing I have ever done in my lifetime. So stay tuned. When we come back, we're going to do some clearing to help you with back to school stress and to help you to get your kids doing the clearing game. And by the way, help you do the clearing game. This is the Ecosystem Approach Show with Jason, and I'm Patricia. We are sitting in for Dr. Pat today. You're listening to and watching Transformation Talk Radio.
The wealth you receive is a result of your personal relationship with the soul of money, meaning your spiritual well-being affects your ability to create abundance. Jennifer Bloom works with people to mend the spiritual disconnect that blocks up the cash flow. How's your relationship with yourself? Are you in balance with the divine? I know, these are big questions, but there are answers. Take Jennifer's free money relationship quiz to learn where you need to focus your energy and watch yourself grow into the abundance you deserve. Trust the divine. Learn to receive. You are worthy of all the wealth you seek. Visit JenniferBloom.com and click on the purple banner to take the free money relationship quiz. That's Jennifer Bloom, B-L-O-O-M-E.com.
stuck in a roundabout of dysfunction? Stop circling around difficult issues and find out what's been holding you back. Learn how to speak your truth to power with host Dr. Kathy Aubert. Create real change with smart tools and smart strategies. No frills, no fluff, just life-changing conversations to help get you where you want to be. Extend your reach and become an agent for real change with Kathy Aubert. For more information on Kathy and her work, please visit drkathyaubert.com. That's drkathyaubert.com.
Tune in to Hungry for Answers every first and third Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com with me, Robin Clare. I am a recovery coach, professional, and best-selling author, bringing you eye-opening conversations about addiction and groundbreaking tools for recovery. To learn about me and my offerings, visit Clarity.com. That's Claire, Clare-ity.com.
We remember a time when you could simply form a thought and it would manifest. The harmony was forgotten, but it is returning now. The Power of Inspiration and Awakening Radio with Julia Griffin on TransformationTalkRadio.com each second and fourth Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific will take you on adventures through the heart and spirit, exploring who we once were. These intuitive healers studied under the guidance of wolves, learning from their wisdom to master a higher frequency for a new state of mind. Visit OneTrueSelf.com.
Does your life often feel like an emotional tsunami where rogue waves crash down on you, leaving you feeling hopeless and wondering if it will ever end? Do you wish to awaken the dormant strength inside of you? Imagine what it would be like to turn your pain into purpose. Start today by scheduling a complimentary consultation with Martinet. Dive into your healing journey and begin to see your life in a new light. Visit MartinetEmmons.com and make your appointment today.
This is the Ecosystem Approach Show with Jason, and I'm Patricia. And in this segment, we're going to do some clearing to help you with back-to-school stress, to help you to get your kids doing the clearing game, and you too. So with that said, Jason, you ready to get started?
Here we go. So, again, remember, we do a clearing statement, and we have it on the card here. Yep. And here we go. I direct all my resources in all dimensions to eliminate any numbness I had to my feelings about back to school. Gather up that numbness and blow it into the top of the processor there.
Right there.
And you can use your imagination if you're listening on the radio. Just blow it into a trash can. But
exactly.
Go to our website, theecosystemapproach.org, and sign up for that free section so you can get a picture of the processor and you know what it looks like, and you can either remember it or print it out and cut it out.
Exactly. So, with that, we're going to continue on with the clearing. And to eliminate, that shortened just a little bit, the barriers so I can get rid of my own stress and anxiety when it comes to having my kids go back to school. Pick all that up with a breath and then throw it into the top of that processor right there.
And to eliminate any intense feeling of worry, anxiety, or frenzy I have about my kids, about myself, about COVID.
About everything.
When it comes to going back to school.
And by the way, clearing those things individually is really a good idea. It really helps.
Take a breath.
And to eliminate my feelings of fear and hurt and shame that makes me feel insecure about myself and actually even doing the clearing game. I release and let go all of those fears and hurts and worries and shames. Take a breath. Right there.
And to eliminate the barrier so I can see that emotions are energies and they build up and they need to be cleared. That's why we do the clearing game. Take a breath.
Nice and easy. And by the way, I've replaced the clearing game or I've replaced sugar with the clearing game in the afternoon when I wanted sugar the most. Okay. So, and to eliminate
use clearing instead of eating chocolate. Yes, I get it.
Chocolate? Okay. And to eliminate the veils and illusions so I can see when my anger is out of control and I can't be objective. And by the way, you could say anger/fear is out of control, and I can't be objective. Take a nice breath. and then drop it right here, all that negative energy in the processor.
And to eliminate any feelings of fear and terror that makes me lose my objectivity.
That's huge, because those are two different things, but they both connect to objectivity. Nice and easy. And to eliminate any barriers so I can perceive the motive of information of what I'm listening to. Take a nice breath. And then ask myself, am I hearing the truth, or am I hearing things that will motivate me, or not motivate me, but will manipulate me? I release and let go the false belief that says, in order for me to do something, I have to be manipulated, and I even have to manipulate myself, when the truth is, no, that's not the truth.
Put it in the top there.
Put it in the top there.
And to eliminate any resistance to changing, to having my teenagers change so they can do the clearing game.
Yes.
And so imagine them in your mind's eye. Imagine this energy going from their bodies into the processor.
Into the processor.
And to eliminate, I'm just going to go on a roll here, to the false belief that persistence won't work with my teenagers, when the truth is, no matter how little response I get from them, it's the clearing is still having an effect.
And it really works. We have seen it.
Yes.
Yes, we have seen it.
Take a breath.
Take a breath.
And I'd like to just jump to the life force here real quick.
Absolutely. Here we go. I direct all my resources in all dimensions to activate life force energy, the most powerful energy that anyone has access to. And I activate it. Right now I'm going to call upon it to come in through the top of my head, go all the way down my torso and my arms, clear the tips of my toes. I'm going to stop it right there. I'm going to turn it around, and I'm going to use that life force energy so I can have clarity, awareness, objectivity, and creativity for me regarding using the ecosystem approach and every single day in my life. Take a breath, nice and easy. Pull it in, and now blow out any negative energy that's blocking you from that request right now.
One last one for activating life force.
So okay.
To activate life force so that I can trust that the clearing game is going to work. It's going to work for me and my kids
right
now.
Right.
Take a breath.
I love that. And then I just want to do one more. And to activate life force so I can be happy and healthy and creative, especially figuring out how to use the ecosystem approach, but also be healthy and happy and have fun and do laughter and have joy in my life, not only for me, but for my entire family and everything that we do each and every day. Take a nice breath, pull it in. Pull it in for your entire family. Nice and easy. Jason, what are we going to talk about? Well, let's see, next week?
Yes, it's going to be next week. We're going to pre-record that show. It's
okay.
On the Memorial Day. But this is an exciting show for me.
Okay.
Because the secret to unlimited potential is the understanding and the elimination of dark energy in your life.
Dark energy / negative energy.
Yes.
Okay.
And we call it the sandwich effect. So when the dark energy sandwiches in between, you know, good things that happen.
Yes.
You know, we think of dark energy as black and white, like it's the darker is over here and this is all white.
Right.
It doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
It's always on both sides. It slithers in between. It's always anything that good that's happened, there's some dark energy there. Anything that's totally bad, there's some good energy there.
And one of the things that people say is, yep, that happened, and I was waiting for that other shoe to drop.
Yeah. Well, this is the way to get rid of it. We're going to talk about that because what's exciting about this is that if you understand the sandwich effect, your potential, there's no limit then to your potential.
I love that. So, Jason, why is the ecosystem approach so important for not only me personally, but for the audience out there?
Well, if something that we've talked about today has touched you, if you say, I want this clearing gate for my kids, or I don't care about my kids, or I just want it for me.
Right.
Or maybe you don't have any kids, you know.
And that's okay, too.
By the way, this works for your dog or your
cat. It does. We've used it on our animals.
So you know, this is the perfect thing. Go to our website right now, theecosystemapproach.org.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all one word, theecosystemapproach, and it's .org, not com, it's .org, O-R-G. And sign up for a free section. Do that right now.
Okay.
You get these weekly newsletters with the clearing every single week. And then go to our Facebook page,
okay.
Also theecosystemapproach.org, and Facebook. Like us, watch the video, watch it again over and over
Make
again.
Make comments.
Have
love
your
to hear.
Kids watch it. Yes,
yes, exactly.
And we normally do our show.
Normally we do our show on Mondays at 1 p.m. Pacific and 4 p.m. Eastern time. And by the way, this is Transformation Talk Radio, but you've been listening and watching the Ecosystem Approach Show with Jason and Patricia.
Remember, your ecosystem is the most important one in the world.
Thanks again, Dr. Pat.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers.